Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
Now, is it time for quarantine hotels to counter new variant strains of COVID-19? It's reported that stricter travel restrictions on travellers into Ireland are due to be considered by government as efforts ramp up to control new strains of the disease. As of last Saturday, all visitors to Ireland are required to have a negative PCR test 3 days before travel. However, a report in yesterday's Sunday Times, you might have seen it, says that the Department of Justice have confirmed there is now a policy of allowing passengers whose COVID-19 status is unknown to continue on their journeys on arrival in Ireland. So what is the best way to keep cases from entering the country via travel? I'm joined by Professor Sam McConkie, who's head of the Department of International Health and Tropical Medicine at the Royal College of Surgeons. Professor McConkie, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you indeed for joining us. I have to get your response to these indications that despite new regulations requiring a negative PCR test before travel, just having come into force, that people are being allowed to enter the country without one and just being cautioned. What do you make of that?
I think overall that preventing reimportation of COVID-19, whether it's the old traditional one or new strains, is a really important part of how nationally we keep the levels down. So we know that we were able to get the levels down back in March, April, May of last year, and I'm hoping now in this January, February, March we can get them down. But then how do we keep them down? And this idea of restricting reinfection by 14-day quarantine in a hotel, I think, is the ideal way. I don't believe, Cormac, that a negative test is adequate, because you can have a negative test and then a day or be still incubating it, and a day or two later come up positive if you were exposed. It's a, you know, if you were just exposed a few hours before the negative test was done, it doesn't show up. So unfortunately, my view is that even this negative test is not adequate to prevent reintroduction of COVID-19 into our country.
Are you saying you'd need at least two PCR tests?
And maybe even more, several, perhaps every couple of days for 10 or 14 days, so you can still show up several days after the exposure. So I think our current restrictions on preventing and importing are not really adequate. At present, of course, we're in the middle of a, you know, let's call it a tsunami of COVID-19, as the previous speaker mentioned. And, you know, we're just wondering, we're holding our breath, we're in shock. How big is this going to be? Our hospitals are still filling up with people with COVID, our ICUs are filling up. So we are in the middle of a transmission crisis now that I think is bigger than the one we had in March and April. I'm confident that we can do the same thing again and get it down. But this issue of how to prevent it rising again in March, April, May, June is an important one, and I think your testing and quarantine is an important part of that.
But testing every 3 or 4 days maybe after arriving into the country for up to 14 days, that's 3 or 4 PCR tests.
So another alternative is just use hotel rooms to keep people in mandatory quarantine for 14 days. That's what's worked in other countries. We've loads of empty hotel rooms, Cormac. There's lots of empty hotels that have zero customers. We've lots of unemployed people who used to work in those hotels who are on pandemic unemployment payment. So we could actually get those people in those hotels to provide accommodation.
And this has been done in other places, has it, Professor?
Very successfully, Australia, New Zealand, and you know, many of the young doctors that I was working with have moved to Australia, and they do have absolutely mandatory quarantine. You can't get out of the room. You've got Wi-Fi, you've got television, you play with your computer, and you get full board in the room, and it's an ensuite, a nice, comfortable bed, but you cannot leave the room. You cannot go out and wander the streets of Australia. So I think this mandatory quarantine for 14 days could prevent reintroduction. I wish we had done that, you know, for maybe people coming in from Cheltenham or people coming in June, July, August. That might have slowed and prevented where we're at now.
Yeah. Can I ask you about the new variants of COVID-19? Because we know, I think we're aware of at least 3 new variants or so, and they're more transmissible, they're more infectious than the original from the UK, South Africa and Brazil, if I'm not mistaken. How much of a concern are they, in your opinion, especially when we're trying to corral or restrict movements from those countries, especially because we know they're far more infectious?
So my view is that when you've got what are called RNA viruses, this virus, coronavirus and RNA virus, they do tend to change a little bit over time. Every week or two, they change their genome. So this idea of variants is almost inevitable. And since March, April, May, we've seen new variants before in 2020, just they haven't made the news. So the original Chinese strain was around at the very beginning of February, March, but then it kind of died away and was taken over by another B strain. So this is a diversity of genomes. As we've sequenced it, we're seeing lots of different genomes. Why we're talking about these three is because the British have very good evidence that this is now more transmissible. And from the data in Ireland, this, let's call it B117, that was found in Essex and Kent and London, has started to grow in Ireland, initially one in 20, then one in 10 cases, then one in 5 cases, and now almost half our cases. So it certainly seems to have taken over in this country, but we're still dealing with the old one. The other one is about half our cases now, so it's not taken over completely. The Brazilian one, I don't know enough data to how transmissible that is. The South African one seems to be a problem there, but I think it's still COVID-19 we're dealing with, Cormac. It's still the same fundamental virus. It may be more transmissible. Perhaps it's less pathogenic. These viruses do change a little bit, and the virus you're up against in 3 or 6 months is slightly different from the one a year ago. So that's just the nature of the beast, that it
and
changes
the fear, its fate. The fear some people have is that it will mutate to such a degree that the vaccine we have will not be effective against it. Is that a possibility?
It is a theoretical possibility. So far, the antibodies that were generated by people who had the Pfizer vaccine have been shown to be effective against the British strain in a test tube, if you like. So it doesn't appear that this B117 has mutated to escape the vaccine, but that's a theoretical possibility. I would say on a positive note, as I think it did in RT News a day or two ago, that the way these new RNA vaccines like the Pfizer one are made does allow you to make a newer version of the vaccine that will be effective against the new strain quite quickly. So these new RNA vaccines, as distinct from RNA viruses, the RNA vaccines are very easy to be changed a bit and then rapidly developed and brought to market against a new strain. So I believe there would be scientific technical solutions where a new strain to escape the vaccine. I think that could be solved as well.
Yeah, we'd love to not to be in that position, I suppose. But in a way, in an ideal situation, if we didn't have to trade or if people didn't have to make emergency journeys, you would stop all travel in and out of the country, wouldn't you?
That's very difficult to remove
the possibility of having the new strain. But we know that 1,500 people arrived from Brazil into Ireland in the last fortnight or so.
I think closing the borders is economically not feasible, in my
opinion. That's acceptable.
My
question to you really is about the 1,500 people and other people who've come from South Africa and the UK. But in relation to Brazil, the Minister for Health over the weekend has asked those people, those 1,500 people who arrived from Brazil in the last 2 weeks, to contact a GP to get a COVID test and to self-isolate for that period. Is that going far enough, in your opinion?
I don't feel it is. I think, unfortunately, we need to sort of police the self-isolation. We need to have some confidence that all of the people are in proper self-isolation and are not socialising with other people who are openly living in Ireland. And that's where the benefit hotel quarantine in a specific organised location that has been paid and organised to do quarantine is much, much better than self-isolation. So self-isolation is really difficult because, you know, you have to get someone to do your shopping. If you don't have people around, you may be sharing a toilet, sharing cooking area with other people. So it's actually practically very difficult in a lot of the houses we live in for one person in a house to self-isolate from the others, because we have to share these facilities and you have to find someone to cook for you. So it's not easy. And that's where I think the hotel quarantine is a better solution.
Can I ask you very finally, we know that for a period that contact tracing wasn't effective because the figures had gone, frankly, too high. So in that situation, we know now that you can have COVID-19 without having any symptoms whatsoever. Yeah. Isn't it a possibility that you or I could be walking around unwittingly, not knowing, not exhibiting any symptoms whatsoever over the past 2 or 3 weeks and spreading COVID-19 even with our restricted movements?
Yeah, well, hopefully we should be 2 metres away from everyone and only going for our walks outside for exercise and working from home and staying at home. So I think that is true, and maybe we need better contact tracing. So whenever the numbers come down, as I'm confident they will in March and April, that we've contact tracing that actually goes back 2 weeks in retrospect to say, where did you catch it from? Maybe takes a map of all the locations you've been, all the air code, grid codes, maps those on a computer, matches them with all the other cases of COVID-19 to find out, have there been outbreaks in other locations that we didn't realise? Whereas at present, our contact tracing has just gone back 48 hours, and it's just trying to ask the question, who did I give it to, rather than who did I get it from? So So I feel we could also have local contact tracing, pop-up tents if there's an outbreak, you know, in Byram and Clontarf, have a little pop-up tent like a Garda incident room, so anyone who wants can have a test really quickly. Maybe we could be testing not just close contacts, but even casual contacts and even not so close contacts in that increasing circles around each individual case. So I'm hoping once we get the numbers really well down, we can keep them down by this really thorough, detailed focus on the geographic environment and all the contacts, the totality of contacts of all the people who have. And that would help us to keep it down.
Okay, Professor Sam McConkie, we leave it there. Thank you very much indeed.